Odd Culture, episode 476, TARDIS Interruptus, volume 49. This episode of Pod Culture, TARDIS Interruptus, is brought to you by Audible.com. Choose from over 100,000 titles and get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/podculture. It's time to kick back in the console room. We're back with another episode of Pod Culture, TARDIS Interruptus. And I'm Brad.
And I'm Christina.
Meow.
Meow.
Yeah, there's a couple of cats running around here too, but human-wise, just us. Cat nuns.
No cat nuns. I would have been a cute cat nun.
I'm sure we can find some people to do some makeup. You could cosplay as a little cat nun.
I could do it myself. I took that class in college.
It's hard doing the makeup on yourself. You'd almost have to have somebody else to do it.
Because you can see it. You can get right up in somebody's grill. In your own grill.
Oh, if you do it right, you could cosplay as Maid Marian from Robin Hood, the animated one. If you know, get the...
as a fox.
Stuff. Yeah.
I want to see Rosalie from Grimm do that. Okay, sorry.
Oh, ooh, yeah.
Her animal kind of looks like a fox.
She kind of looks cute even with the...
I love her.
So, yeah, but we're back with a little TARDIS Interruptus.
We watch too much TV.
Yes, 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 we do. Although I'm way behind on Grimm.
You know what? I haven't watched any of this past season at all.
I've watched a few.
I'm like a season plus behind. Because there's been so much else to watch.
No kidding. So much good stuff.
I know.
Both on BBC America and Showtime and...
Oh, yeah.
Stuff. And
Steph recommended to me that I got sucked into watching.
And trying to rein that in and bring it back to Doctor Who a little bit. Did you finish with Penny Dreadful?
Yes, I did.
Now, the one estate that they were at a couple of times that looked like the estate from the Snowmen.
Yes, it did. I thought so too.
I mean, the whole courtyard and, you know, where...
Yes, that was the first thing I thought was there needs to be a snowman there.
Because, yeah, it was winter. Yeah, it was winter there.
Uh-huh. It was because she's walking through the snow like like Mercy, but without the red dress.
Yeah. But there's plenty of red with around that chick.
And it's the same time period. That whole Victorian era just slays me, but I love it. Yeah. If I had a time machine, that's where I'd go.
Yeah, Penny Dreadful. Good show.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, not only did it filmed on some of the locations, you got Rassilon and Rose,
and you've got
and probably other people.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's so good and creepy and scary. And and the lady that played the Queen of the Fish people in Vampires in Venice.
Was she the head witch?
Yes, she is the head witch.
I knew her from somewhere.
Yep, that's her.
Okay.
Yep, that's her.
Doing the whole bathing in blood thing.
That was disgusting.
That was pretty nasty.
And the whole doll thing freaks me out.
That was creepy.
Uh-huh.
Especially when it was... Yeah.
Yes.
It was her talking to her doll self.
Yes, it was just wrong and scary.
Yeah.
But it was very good. And I'm really loving the show and I need more right now.
So yeah, if you're having Doctor Who withdrawals, do that.
Yes, Penny Dreadful. Or if you're having Ripper Street withdrawals, watch that.
I like Timothy Dalton.
I do love Timothy Dalton, though. Hi, Andrew. I do love Timothy Dalton, though, especially in this. He's so tortured, and I love it. Oh, literally and figuratively.
The visions he sees of, like, his dead kids and stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
And the wife.
Bless his heart. Oh, my God.
Reminded me of a Slovene for some reason.
Everybody's plagued with nightmares, and it's just so sad. And it's just, it's like, everybody's tormented in some way, and that's why I like it. There is no happy person in this show. Everybody has their own demons to wrestle with. And I love that. And the doctor would, too.
Literally demons to wrestle with in some cases.
Yes, exactly. And I think the fact that she's got such faith and she's still haunted so badly makes it even sadder.
No kidding. It's
excellent.
They stepped up the game and they left it on a pretty damn good cliffhanger, too.
I need more right now.
I feel bad for the bodyguard, though.
And I need costumes, and I need her outfits. I need all of her outfits.
I think she's a little taller than you, dear.
I don't care. I can take them in.
You like the high neck stuff, huh?
Yes, I do.
Choker collars and that kind of.
That's what I wore to my graduation, was a white blouse like that. Yes, I was wearing a robe over it. Nobody knew, and I even wore a cameo. I'm an old soul. What can I say?
Word up.
Word up.
Yeah, cameo.
What?
Look it up.
I'm confused.
Oh, that's it. I've known that for 10 years.
Okay.
But yeah, we're back. And we got a little bit of a special TARDIS Interruptus.
Yes.
It's, because, you know, they recover lost episodes all the time.
Yes.
And this podcast is not unlike our favorite time-traveling show.
Can I just say, it was not me. I did not press the big red button. It was not me. The big friendly button.
Well, you were tangentially involved in why they never aired. What are you doing?
That was like over a year ago.
What are you doing? I'm sorry. I just happened to look over, and Rose is like sprawled out on her back on the
Is she ottering?
Oh, she's like, no, she's literally sprayed out like she's going to get drawn and quartered or something, you know.
Bless her fluffy face. Take a picture.
If I can.
If I take out my, Claire knows that if my phone comes out and is aimed at her, there's going to be a picture taken and she runs. So I have to, like, I've got, for all the pictures I have of her and I together, I have to ninja them. Otherwise, I don't get any. She's so precious. I love her. Little rosy posy.
Yes, but we have some special audio clips from various conventions and stuff that we have been to over the past year or so.
So excited.
Some of which you know about.
Can't wait to do more.
You don't know about.
Can't wait to do more.
And some of which, there might be some more coming down the road very soon.
Yes, yes.
So.
And you've got some Yankee stuff that needs to come out, too.
Yeah.
Because I was roving reporter. I was Sarah Jane at the Cleveland convention, so I did some stuff too.
So yeah, the first thing that we got. You want to kick it off with the doctor?
Yes. Wait, which doctor are we doing first?
Oh, let's go with the guy who gave you a phone call.
Aw, the very sweet and the bluest blue eyes you've ever seen in your life, Mr. Sylvester McCoy, the seventh doctor. He was wonderful enough to come back to the area, the tri-state area in Cincinnati at the Cincinnati Comic-Con. And he was kind enough to speak to us for a few minutes. And he was just absolutely, he's the kind of guy you just want to take home with you.
I thought Sylvester was at Fandom Fest.
He was in Cincinnati, too.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because remember he did the panel?
Oh, yeah, okay, good.
Yeah. He was in Cincinnati, too. But yeah, I do adore him.
All right, so let's get into that.
A day you're not to love him.
Hello. This is Sylvester McCoy, the seventh Doctor Who. You're listening to Pod Culture, TARDIS Interruptus.
I'm Brad.
I'm Christina.
And welcome back to Pod Culture. And we have a very special guest on the show, the Seventh Doctor, Sylvester McCoy.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you for speaking to us today.
Yeah, that's my cousin.
I could translate, but I won't. It's rude. Oh.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I have a question. What is it like filming in the UK versus other places in the world?
Well, I mean, the UK, the BBC, it's all to do with money, really, and you have to cut corners and do things quickly. But what's good about that is you have to use your imagination more than perhaps you would need to do if you were here in the US of A. The US of A, there's, you know, when I did the so-called Doctor Who movie, I was given, you know, luxurious dressing rooms, whereas the BBC, they'd stick you in a toilet and say, change your clothes. What else? No, really. There's more food on the set in America than there is in British, which is terrible because it's so tempting. You just want to nibble all day long. We don't have that much. That's the other thing that I want. What else? British actors work a lot in theatre work, so we are used to teamwork, whereas American actors who specialise in film and television, their relationship is principally with the camera, and therefore the audience down the other side of the camera. Whereas with us, we kind of tend to work with each other. That's another difference.
That's very good.
With having worked on two iconic sci-fi and franchises like The Hobbit and Doctor Who, what's it like to have been part of two things that are so huge to a lot of people?
It's great. I mean, I feel very privileged and very lucky to have landed both those lovely parts. And the response has been joyful all around the world. People love both of these roles. And, you know, I'm so lucky to have got them.
Oh.
Except for the bird poo.
With Doctor Who, one of my favorite parts of the 50th anniversary celebration was, of course, the Five-ish Doctors reboot.
Yep.
How did you get involved in that, and how did it?
Well, it's because we thought for years before, as all the fans wanted us to be in the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, but it turned out we learned on the 50th year that wasn't going to happen. So we decided to get together and make it happen, and we did in our own inimitable way. So it's it was a joy to do, and it was great that so many people volunteered to be in it. Everyone did it for free. We didn't get paid or anything. We did it for the fans and for the fun,
and we're so grateful.
Thank you.
And now it's kind of fun to go back and watch the 50th special and say, no, there's doctors under those sheets.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I think so. We don't want to take up too much of your time, but Christina,
okay.
You have one last question.
I have one last question. Is there a question that you've been dying to answer, something that you wanted to get across to people that nobody's ever asked you this question?
No, because I can't remember. I wouldn't know what that question is that no one's ever asked me. That's the question I'd like to be asked.
I like that. Very right. Good.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure.
And thank we'll you. Catch you later. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
done. You should be a whole new man or woman or cheetah or whatever you can. Then you'll have another lifetime. Now how does that sound? So you can try not to screw it up the seventh time around. That means more time to find people to assist. More time to find the hand of Omega or Nemesis. More time to wonder where you left your car keys last. And more time to torment your young friend about her past. You can learn to do it if you think you can. Like if you need to hide from your Uncle Wink again. Or if you got a crazy ex that won't leave you alone. Just rearrange your DNA and change your number on your phone. Do it one time, I guarantee you'll be amazed. Throw your hands to the side and act like you're being tased. It's the hot new dance craze that's sweeping the nation. Everybody do the regeneration.
But I have a question.
Yes, what is it, Ace?
Is it safe?
Well, of course it's safe. Whatever do you mean?
Well, you know, with my backpack.
Ah, yes, of course. Well, you know, Ace, if I were you, I would remove the nitro.
Oh, I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Some people can't do it, but they want a new life. So they cheat their way through it and go under the knife. Sharon Michael Jackson couldn't possibly look weirder. And now there's no way that we can save the cheerleader. Mel knows how to do it, and so does Ace. But stand back, cause she's likely to blow up the whole place. But she can give a demonstration and show you how it's done. So get on the dance floor and tear yourself a new one. Fade in and out, or swirl around and around. Grab your chest like Red Fox and make a wheezing sound. Then heat up your body temperature to 500 Kelvin. And you can cheat death without resorting to a Melvin. It'll fix you up with such a smooth touch. But your fashion sense probably won't improve much. It's the hot new dance craze that's sweeping the nation. Everybody do the regeneration.
Okay, we're back.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I hope you liked that little bit with the Seventh Doctor.
Isn't he charming?
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. I know the audio was a little rough, but it's at a convention in a lousy hall.
Yeah, and people are so loud.
No kidding. But we have another clip. I know they're short.
I can't even.
I know they're short.
So am I. But so are we.
That's true.
That is, sadly, that is the nature of the beast at conventions. You have to take advantage of what little time you have and try not to be a spaz.
Well, I like to think that we were a little bit nicer than some that took up, a half an hour on?
Yeah, yeah, we were super nice compared to a lot of people.
Yeah. Although
we try not to ask stupid questions.
Yeah, I think there was always one goofy one that we asked. But
goofy, yes. Yeah, stupid, no. Okay.
But, we did seven.
Yes.
Now, just what comes after seven?
We could do eight.
You can do eight. I'll say it. Okay.
I'll do eight.
Well, you got a head pad out of it.
I know.
So, do that. We'll move right on into the eighth Doctor.
Did you just swoon? Yes. Yes, I did. Shut up.
I'm Paul McGann, the Eighth Doctor. You're listening to Pod Culture.
Alrighty, we're here at Cincinnati Comic Expo 2014, and we have a very special guest on the show, Mr. Paul McGann.
Welcome,
Eighth
Paul.
Doctor.
Good morning.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you. I'm having a great time.
We're so glad to have you here.
Yeah, it's been a really good one, this one.
Good.
So, the Eighth Doctor, bridging the gap between the classic series and the new series, and only had
eventually.
Eventually,
yeah.
And then we had that special treat, Night of the Doctor.
Yeah, last November.
Oh my goodness!
It was a birthday present to me. You know that.
Oh,
yeah. You know, it went out on my birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, November 14th.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Moffat sent me a text around 11 in the morning, UK time. And he said, it just said, brace yourself. He said, we're going to put it out within the hour. He said, I'm afraid someone else might leak it, so it's going to have to go out today. So he said, happy birthday. And that's what this text said. Yeah.
We were amazed on how well that secret was kept.
Oh, yes.
Well, you know, for the likes of myself, that was kind of easy. It's easy when all you have to do is not tell anybody.
Yeah.
That's one way of keeping a secret. But of course, there were other people who worked on it, who had copies of or parts of it on machines or, you know, or were party to documents. However these things leak, it invariably leaks. And even a week before that, I remember I got a couple of tweets. And one of them was a part of the dialogue from the Night of the Doctor, and it was completely right. It was completely intact, and there was a photographic image from it. So we already knew it was out there. It's a shame. It's just part. It's part of the modern thing, you know. It's difficult to keep secrets now when so many people have copies of things. But we nearly did it. But even so, I think you'll agree that the surprise was intact. It was sufficient enough by the time the thing went out, and you heard the voice. Before you saw the man.
Mm-hmm. And the line,
you know. What was the line? I've forgotten already. I always forget my lines.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a doctor, but yeah, but not the one you were expecting. So we managed to do it. We got there. And it meant a lot to people, I think.
Oh, yes, indeed it did.
What did it mean to you stepping back into the role of the doctor?
I was thrilled.
On screen.
Yeah, I was thrilled. You know, but I was glad, too, that in the interim, since 96 and when we'd done the pilot, the movie... I'd done so many audios.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think that it meant that we could do the Night of the Doctor. Because, you know, we shot that in one day, essentially. But I was warmed up. I was ready. I knew what I was doing. I'm not saying I wouldn't have known what I was doing otherwise, but I was warm. I was ready for it. I just had to jump into the costume and they just had to shoo me out. You know, we were there. But in a way, the Eighth Doctor has lived all this time on audio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fantastic. So
it meant a lot to me, too, you know, to finally... We finally got a regeneration, of course. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it pieced together. Moffat's writing, I thought, was ingenious. Because, don't forget, it was only 6-7 minutes long. And what he managed to cram into those 6 or 7 minutes was fantastic. It actually meant... Somebody said at the time, this is, you know, it gives us the idea that maybe in the future, episodes... TV episodes, more or less of everything, will be shorter, will get shorter, get sweeter, get more to the point, you know. In this age, you know, I think we'll see episodes of things shrink from 40 minutes here, 50 minutes there, down to 20, down to 10, you know what I mean? Because it shows just what you can do, so long as the quality of the writing. Yeah, as long as the writing is there, you know, it's all there.
I mean, you had everything in that six or seven minutes.
You did. You even had a bit in the middle where you say, I might be bored. There was a lull in the middle. Bring me knitting.
Yes.
You know, and then you got a regeneration in. You got a couple of the old stories referenced. You got all those companions from Big Finish.
That was
referenced. He dies. He doesn't realize he's dead. He dies twice in 6 minutes. You know what I mean? It's and still it doesn't feel like it's rushed. I thought it was fantastic.
One of the special thing, you know, with the audios and, you know, essentially you having the longest reign as the Doctor. Basically.
That's what they call me, longest and the shortest. I like that.
But actually making on screen the audio companions canon, and tied in with everything.
I have to say, I didn't ask for that. Nobody asked for that. That was Stephen's,
so
Stephen's idea. And when he presented me the page with this stuff written on, we worked fast, let me tell you. I think I only realized the import of that after we'd done it. In fact, it was after we spent the day and shot the thing, and I was on my way home. I thought, wow, what was that? What did we just do? And I pieced it together myself. You know, wow, look what he did. And it, because it filled in a lot of the gaps, it actually invented a couple of questions as well. This is how Doctor Who is, though, I think. It's the beauty of it. It's endorsed. I know for our own part, for the Eighth Doctor's part, it's brought him right into the center of the story. Whereas, let me tell you, yeah, because there were times, let me tell you, you know, in the 90s, particularly late 90s, when there was nothing before Eccleston reappears and, you know, after we'd shot the 96 movie.
Need to check out the program guide for all
I'm going to talk over this guy. Now, you know, there was nothing else, you know, and you could be forgiven for thinking that the Eighth Doctor was kind of surplus to requirements, you know. But now he's right in the center of things. And I know that because when I come to these fan shows, people tell me so, and it's really gratifying, I have to say. It's really gratifying.
Your audios are glorious. And just the simple range of emotion that you get when you're in a sound booth, basically. I mean, how often do you get to actually interact with the people that you're in scenes with?
The beauty of doing the Big Finish audios, the way we do them in this particular studio that we use, is that they've built these wooden isolation booths in the studio. There's no other studio I work in quite the same. And they each have glass windows or partitions that we can see each other. But none of the sound spills from one booth to the other. And we're all on separate digital tracks. So we can scream our heads off. And we can do our own thing in simultaneous fashion. So we can work in unison.
Together.
Yeah, together in the room. And we can see each other. And we have a ball, let me tell you. Everybody wants to do this gig. And even the food is the best food that we ever get on a gig. So it's one of those fantastic jobs. In fact, next week when I go home, we're going to do some more.
Wonderful.
And everybody looks, yeah, more
I
dark
can't wait.
Eyes. Yeah.
I can't wait.
Everybody looks forward to them.
Yes.
And we're getting better and better at doing them. And now the relationship, it's been fostered over years between Big Finish and Cardiff. Has become a really, really close one.
I wore my Cardiff shirt today.
Yeah.
I got to experience shirt today.
And that means a lot, you know. I mean, look at Nick Briggs just for one example. Nick, you know, is central to Big Finish. He's part of the way Big Finish is run. But he's the voice of the Dalek, of course, in Cardiff. So they swap personnel, they swap ideas. And that started actually before Stephen Moffat. And now it's come to fruition. And of course, like we were saying, when, you know, under Stephen's aegis, all these companions were referenced on the Night of the Doctor, it brought the relationship completely together for everybody.
And I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I wanted to get your thoughts on the Five-ish Doctors and doing kind of a multi-doctor adventure, sort of.
On the thing we did last November?
Yeah.
I thought, for my own part, I thought that it was... You could argue that it was the thing over that weekend which was most touched with the spirit. I thought it was fantastic.
Oh, it was
fantastic. I wish... Because I was away working at the time in Ireland, I missed... I was only in it for one afternoon. And I didn't even know what was going to be the content of it. And I kind of wished I'd been in it a little bit more now, you know. And let's hope we do some more of those, because I think it really... The fans love them, we like it.
I think Peter did a great job.
He did a great job. And the BBC became, to their credit, became involved partway through the process and helped us out. And again, that, you know, that endorsed the whole thing, and we got proper, you know, Peter got proper backing then. But, you know, it was his idea, it was his energy, and it was his inspiration, and I think it worked out really well.
Yes.
Okay. One last thing before we close. You know, the Eighth Doctor didn't have a lot of televised adventures, you know, just the 96 movie and Night of the Doctor.
Yeah.
We kind of want to see what your take might be on an iconic scene from the new series.
And the Seventh Doctor has done it, and the Sixth Doctor has done it,
yeah.
And the Eleventh Doctor has done it.
Oh, yes.
So we're just wondering if you're up to the task.
If I'm up to it?
Uh-huh.
I'm always up to it. Listen, don't... I'm up to it.
Is that big enough?
This is the Stonehenge speech,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
This is the one I got to do later on a panel. You know that, don't
you?
You
can practice.
I can practice it.
Yeah, you can practice.
So I'm going to sight read it blind here. And what's more, because I'm short-sighted now, I'm going to have to hold it right at arm's length. If I make any mistakes, forgive me, right?
You're
okay. And it's... Okay, here we go. Hello, Stonehenge. Who takes the Pandorica takes the universe, but bad news, everyone. Because guess who? Listen, you lot. You're all whizzing about. It's really distracting. Could you all just stay still? a minute because I am talking. Now, the question of the hour is, who's got the Pandorica? Answer, I have. That's the anglicized version. Next question, who's coming to take it from me? Oh, come on, look at me. No plan, no backup, no weapons. Oh, and something else I don't have. Anything to lose. So if you're sitting up there in your silly little spaceships with all your silly little guns, and you got any plans on taking the Pandorica tonight, just remember who is standing in your way. Remember every black day I ever stopped you. And then, do the smart thing. Let someone else try first. There we are.
Oh, sorry, I thought I was on my own.
Transporting the ashes of the master like a clerk. But it's funny how killing him never seems to work. Nothing can contain him, he can say without boasting. So now he'll make the most of this whole snake ghost thing. Thus the TARDIS crashes in a futuristic time full of crime. 1999, the doctor is shot without knowing who his foes are. And owing to his heart, dies of double exposure. But he's got more lives than a cat at his worst. Although he doesn't always manage to land feet first. The doctor regenerates to start his new gig complete. Toe tag and a stupid looking wig, and now he needs new clothes so he can keep from freezing, and also a beryllium clock for some reason. I'm the doctor, she's a doctor, he's the master with some Chinese dude. Eye is open, world is broken, gotta fix it before we all get screwed. I'm the doctor, she's a doctor, he's the master with some Chinese dude. Eye is open, world is broken. But he can walk through glass without any kind of pain, which is handy since she wouldn't let him in the front door. Reality has never failed quite so gracefully before. The Eye of Harmony was opened by Mr. Lee, using the human retinal pattern in his eye as a key. The master wants to use it and the doctor knows it, and only parts from a new clock can close it. The master needs lives and...
Stop.
What?
Stop.
What?
Stop.
What?
Wrong. No.
Ugh.
First of all, the doctor is not now, nor has he ever been, half human.
Well, okay.
Second, traveling back in time in the TARDIS does not make time go backwards inside the TARDIS.
Well, what about that?
There was
time
that one episode with Nyssa and Tegan,
yeah.
But we won't get into that right now.
Oh.
Third, there is no way a primitive piece of Earth technology would fit in and work with the TARDIS.
You know,
the TARDIS is alien technology from another time.
I know.
The two
but...
are not compatible. That's like trying to take the needle from a 19th century phonograph and putting it in your cell phone to play MP3s. Worst episode ever.
Okay, I think you're being
worst
a little harsh.
Episode ever. Although I'm glad they did what they did because they saved the show from a fate worse than death.
What's that?
A series on Fox.
Okay, come on. The Eighth Doctor doing the Pandorica speech. How cool is that?
It is to die. And the fact that we did it first was even.
Yeah. Your BS clips on YouTube.
We totally win. We totally win.
And you didn't know that the guy, because I didn't know the guy that was next to us was going to be the guy that doing the moderation of the panel.
Uh-huh. As soon as he whipped out a piece of paper, I'm like, oh, shit. Oh, shit. And then it's like, oh, no, we're going to lose our chance to get it first. And then he's like, I can't read this. It's too small.
Oh, really? Here you go.
Here's a bigger copy.
Here's 24-point type.
After the other guy walked away.
Deliberately done in that because I knew that.
I know it's terrible, but we we wanted something really special. And then plus it gave Paul a chance to warm up without being on the spot.
Yeah.
Paul. So
that was pretty damn awesome.
Paul. Hi.
You're sounding like Melly now. House. Going on about Paul.
No, but I
the
okay.
Ballad.
Tom Ballard. No, wait. What was his first name?
Paul.
Oh, no, Tom Ballard is in Waiting for God, the British comedy. But yeah, he was great and handsome and charming and fluffy-haired.
Probably thought you were stalking him because, you know, he
don't care.
Been all that
time. Don't care. He'll never see me again. I don't care.
You know, don't say that. You never know.
I took my chances where I could. I don't care. I stole a hug and I don't care. And I told him he was my doctor and I have no shame in that because it is the truth.
Best part though was
I spent the most time with him in his audiobooks. Like of all, as much as I love, as much as Christopher and David and Peter are my doctors, he's my doctor because I spent the most hours with him.
I can see that. Yeah. That's understandable.
I spent the most time with him.
You know, actually, technically, he has had the longest reign as the doctor with the audiobooks and the other books. And
if you ever get a chance, like, catch him on sale or see if you can get him from the library if they're too expensive for you, because he's amazing. He's absolutely amazing. And, yeah, the movie was hokey and weird, but get a hold of the audios and you'll see him in a whole new light.
But we also got Night of the Doctor out of it.
Oh, my God.
I'm torn which one is my favorite 5 minutes of 8 minutes of Doctor Who. Time Crash? Time Crash or Night of the Doctor?
See, the Can I Take Him Home with Me? Gene in my brain goes Night of the Doctor. But the sentimental me says Time Crash. Because Time Crash makes me cry. All the time, each time I watch it, even though I've seen it a million times. As soon as David Tennant says, you were my doctor, it's over.
David Tennant, the ultimate Doctor Who stalker.
Yeah, exactly. We thought we were bad. We're not marrying their children.
Or taking over the role. You know, like,
that's true.
And actually, you know.
But at least he didn't take over from David.
That's true.
From Peter, because that'd be weird. But yeah, that was great. That was great.
Yeah. So and our first doctor interview too.
Is there a new Red Nose Day special? Because it came and went, and I have not had a chance to look to see.
I do not know. Okay. I do not know.
Because I haven't bought a red nose to put on my Pudsey Bear.
Yeah, because Walgreens was selling them.
Yeah, they sold them at Walgreens. As soon as I saw it say Red Nose Day, I'm like, is this the same as the UK one? She goes, yeah, we're doing it for the first time this year. I'm like, I need one of these. I need one of these. I need to support.
I do not know. I do not know.
I need to go look because I hadn't heard anything and I didn't see anything on any of my Doctor Who feeds on Facebook, but I could have missed it. Because usually those are extra special good.
Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, the preview of something. I think then they...
Right, right.
Yeah, Christmas special was a preview year or something.
The Song of the Spheres and, you know, that kind of thing. But, yeah, I don't know which is my favorite little clip. Because I do love the sentimentality of David and Peter. But, man, to see Paul again, it was so great.
The coming out of left field, holy shit.
And to finally get the regeneration scene that has been denied...
Well,
for so long,
we didn't get a real regeneration scene.
No, but we got to see him change into somebody else.
We got to see him burst into light. That was about it.
Still, we got to see him and his face as the doctor.
Yeah, that was...
And that was a satisfying thing. And I would like to add that it was filmed on his birthday. Or released on his birthday or filmed on his
birthday? I think it was released on his birthday because and they were going to release it.
That's right.
The news was going to leak or something like that.
And the bracelet that he's wearing in the special, he wears in real life. So I don't know if that's one that he had and he wore for the filming or that it was part of his costume that he took home.
I think he said during his panel.
And I meant to ask him.
I think he said during his panel it was one of his.
Okay. I didn't hear that because I wouldn't have even thought to ask after that if I would have heard that. But I'm curious because that was really cool.
Yeah. And just the damn, he's badass now.
And he patted me on the head. And he made the tasty jelly baby noise at me.
That was funny. That's funny.
And Brad looked at me and I looked at him and we're both like, we're not going to lose it. We're not going to lose it. We're cool. We're cool. We're Fonzies. We're cool. We're cool.
And like Adam and I seeing Sylvester.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to lose it. We're not going to lose it. Get outside the end of the hallway. Lost it.
See, I managed to hold it in. I was very impressed with myself that day. The way home was another story. But at least while I was in the
vicinity, I almost had to get new windows for. I
just had to leave her on the side of the road.
But yeah, that was those were some fun interviews. And
if you guys ever get a chance to go to a convention near you, just do it.
Yeah,
I mean, I brought my mom and my aunt to the one in Cleveland, and my mom has since become a Doctor Who nerd and a TV nerd, like I am. Well, okay, not like I am, but on the path. And
I don't know if she's in all of these conspiracy theory sites and
she finds all this. She follows all these weird sites on Facebook, and she's always calling me and telling me, I read this thing. I'm like, Mom, is it like a verified thing or did somebody just make it up? And my aunt and I like different shows. Like she and I watch Grimm and Arrow and Flash together. So we watch a different set of shows together. Like she and I do the American stuff and Mom and I do the British stuff together.
And then you have your crossover with Arrow.
Right, exactly. Which is the only reason my mom watches Arrow. Or she won't even watch all the episodes. She only watches the Barrowman episodes.
Which is pretty much all of them.
Eye candy is all she wants is eye candy.
Have you broke the news to her that he's gay?
Yeah. Breaking the news to Aunt Nancy was harder. Oh, Chrissy, really? I'll never forget the brokenhearted tone. Like she just found out the Pope with
Pope was Protestant or something.
No, the Pope was an atheist. Oh, Chrissy, really? Yeah.
Oh well.
Like, oh, well, as long as he's happy, I'm like, I know.
Like, he is.
Just the fact that he was off the market, you know, it just made her so sad.
And he is awesome. Awesome, awesome.
He's so, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you get a chance to go and listen to the panels, and I know they're expensive, but even if you go for a day and I know Fandom Fest had Groupons for a while. I'm not sure if it's still on sale now, but if you get a chance to find a good deal on a ticket to go, just go. And it's not like you even have to stand in line for autographs. Just sit in on the panels and listen to these people talk and tell their stories because they're so great. And there could be an actor where you're like, I'm not so sure I really like them.
Jason David Frank.
I wasn't sure that I would like Shatner. I wasn't sure. And then after his panel, I really did like him.
The way he smacked the one guy down.
That was so awesome. But or even Stan Lee. I knew nothing about Stan Lee as a person.
Other than
I just know that he
don't like his cartoons.
I like his comic book stuff. I didn't like his animated films. But I didn't really like him at first, but I sat and listened to him talk and I have a whole new respect for him. So just go. Even if, you know, just go and enjoy it. And it's like you don't have to spend much after admission. You don't have to buy souvenirs. You don't have to buy autographs if you don't want to. Just go and listen. And it's a good time. And it's just fun to people watch. Because, God, it makes you feel normal.
Yes, it does.
No matter how weird you are or how weird you dress or how weird you feel, there is somebody weirder than you.
There's somebody – if you live in the basement, somebody lives in a sub-basement.
Exactly. And it makes you feel like you're amongst your own people. You're singing the song of your people.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Very much so. And I think that's going to be my new goal is try to get people. I want to turn Phantom Fest into like not quite as big as Dragon Con.
No, because then I wouldn't want to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but it would be a hell of a lot cheaper for you to stay.
Here. Well, yeah, but it's just all the zillions and zillions of people that I get elbowed in the head a lot.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but they have it laid out. I will say this. Dealer's room's much laid out. More
space
to get through.
Things.
Yeah.
You can actually see things. But yeah, I enjoy looking at stuff. I don't have to buy stuff. I just like to look at the different things that are out there that people make and do and how creative people are.
Or Doctor Who Legos. You'll have to buy those.
Doctor Who anything I like to look at. Of the hiccups. But yeah, it's going to be a fun time, and I can't wait to go to Fandom Fest this year and see Rose. And I mean, Billy Piper and Gareth David Lloyd and Eve Miles are going to be there, and I'm so excited.
Oh, Eve Miles. Now, we've met Gareth before, yeah.
A couple of times, and I've not met Eve Miles, but you have.
Whoa.
And I adore her, and my mom was going to name her next cat Gwen because she adores her. And he's like, you're the reason why we know how to pronounce where our people are from. Like, we've got family from Aberystwyth, and we always saw it on paper, never knew how to pronounce it, and because of you and Torchwood, we know how to say it. But I can't wait to meet her. And even if we don't get a chance to talk to Billy, just to be able to see her in person is good enough for me.
Yeah, it'll be awesome.
Because I'm sure she's pretty in person. Like, I mean, I'm sure she's pretty in person.
Well, you know, we've seen recent footage of her with Penny Dreadful, so.
Look at her, like, instant.
Looking like Rose. Except she's got her teeth. She still has the weird teeth.
She has her Girl in the Fireplace tooth and claw hair now. It's shorter and curly-er. But it's blonde again, which is nice.
I just found it interesting that her character came back with a different accent.
But they explained that.
I know they explained it. I'm just saying it. Was interesting that she had one accent.
Did because the one had to go. Because I even asked my friend James, who's Irish, and I said, "Is that a real thing?" He goes, "No, I don't know where that came from." I'm like, "Okay, I don't know where she got that."
The fact that she was cleaned up, so
yeah, and she looks really pretty now, and it's just neat to see her. And
man, did she go dark?
There's a scene where she comes out all prettied up, and she asks Dr. Frankenstein how she looks. And I really wanted him to say, you look beautiful for a human. Because, you know, her first foray into time travel was into Victorian England in
Oh, that's right.
Oh, my God, I can't think of the name of the episode. Oh, wow. It's like the second episode.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
With Eve Miles.
Yeah, with Eve Miles as Gwyneth. But
Charles Dickens.
But yeah, so to see her all gussied up in the Victorian gear again was cool. I really enjoyed that. Oh my God, it's going to bug the crap out of me now. Because it's one of my favorite episodes because I loved him as Charles Dickens.
An Unearthly Child?
That's it. No, that can't be it. Is that it?
Looking at the wrong one.
I was going to say, because that's the scary one. I don't know, but it was really good. But I highly recommend Penny Dreadful if you need a Doctor Who fix.
The Unquiet Dead, third episode.
Unquiet Dead, that's it.
Oh, really, I'm your biggest fan.
What?
With Nine saying, yeah, I'm your biggest fan.
Uh-huh, and what way do you resemble a way of cooling oneself? I do have one regret in London, though, is that we were there at Christmas time, and he was going to be doing his reading of A Christmas Carol after we left. Like, I wish we had stayed long enough to hear that live, because that would have been really cool. I would have freaked out.
Cool.
Like, Simon Cowell doing actual Charles Dickens reading of A Christmas Carol. How cool is that? I'd have been looking at all the gas lamps the whole time, freaking out. It'd been great. Yes, I know fact from fiction. I prefer to blur the line.
Oh, we've blurred it for the past 10 years, dear.
I've got blurred lines stuck in my head, and I hate that song.
Okay, on that note.
I want to rewrite the lyrics for nerd stuff. Somebody get on that.
And on that note, we're out of here.
Cheers.
If you want to reach us here at Pod Culture Central, there are a few different ways.
You can email us, feedback@podculture.net.
Call our voicemail line, 812-672-4763. That is 812-672-4PODCULTURE.
Comment on the website, podculture.com.
Let us know how we're doing and what you'd like to hear on the show. We'd love to hear from you.
Pod culture.
Equal opportunity geekness.
That looks like poo culture. That's poo culture, right?
Yeah.